Hello, and welcome to the TI Fluid Systems PLC announcement of half year 2021 results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Bill Kazira, CEO and President of TI Fluid Systems PLC. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, everybody. Welcome to TI Fluid Systems results presentation for the first half of 2021. I'm Bill Kazira, the CEO and President. I'm joined today by our Chief Operating Officer, Ron Huzinski, and our Chief Financial Officer, Ron Huzinski, and our Chief Operating Officer, Hans Diligens. I would like to thank everyone for participating over the phone today as we continue to deal with the travel and health safety protocols for all of us given the ongoing challenges presented by the COVID-19 pandemic. I truly hope each of you and your loved ones remain safe and healthy, and I'm confident that we are getting even closer to resuming a more familiar and safer way of life, and we look forward to returning soon to London. So if we skip the disclaimer and take it as read, I would like to now turn to slide 3 for the agenda. This morning, I will be taking you through the key highlights for the first half of 2021 before handing over to Hans, who will take you through an update on our success in electrification, and then Ron will take you through the group's financial performance. Following that, we will be happy to take your questions. But let me first comment that we continue to demonstrate the company's resilience despite the ongoing volatility in light vehicle production due to the well-known supply shortage of automotive microchips, which, as you are aware, has an indirect impact on TI Fluid Systems. Despite the ongoing supply disruptions, global light vehicle production volumes continue to recover, and along with the benefits arising from the restructuring program that we implemented in 2020, we continue to target full-year revenue to outperform global light vehicle production and target a high single-digit adjusted EBIT margin. Plus, these earnings will support adjusted free cash flow generation similar to the pre-COVID levels. I'm also pleased today to announce that the Board of Directors has approved a 2021 interim dividend of 1.93 euro cents per share as we begin to return back to our normal dividend cadence. So with that, let's turn to slide 5. On slide 5, I would like to remind you of our key investment highlights, which remain relevant, especially as we continue to face the ongoing challenges of the recovery of global light vehicle production volumes. We have a very experienced management team with a proven track record of revenue growth and solid financial performance. We remain best positioned to manage today and tomorrow's new challenges. We are a technology leader in highly engineered automotive fluids with strong market positions in our products. We are the number one supplier of brake and fuel lines and the number two supplier of plastic pressure-resistant hybrid fuel tanks globally. We have a global low-cost footprint together with a strong position in China where we have wholly owned operations. This has contributed to our success in winning global business platform awards. And we are seeing the success carry through to our thermal management products, systems, and pressure-resistant plastic fuel tanks and modules, where we are strongly positioned for the electrification megatrend. We continue to deliver revenue outperformance with solid margins and strong free cash flow generation, driven by our flexible cost structure, our financial discipline, and the proven leadership of our great management team. As shown by the group's first half 2021 results, which we will discuss now, you will see again clear evidence of our ability to demonstrate the resilience of our business model to outperform revenue, expand margin, and generate strong cash. We are also progressing well in our commitment to the long-term strategy of electrification with continued investment and BEV and HEV wins. TI Fluid Systems business model is sustainable, and we continue to do what we said we would do. Now turning to slide 6, I'm pleased to announce our updated goal to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions significantly by 37% by the year 2039. The group feels strongly about this commitment, which is aligned with the Paris Agreement, is designed to meet the well below 2-degree scenario, and supports the UN Sustainable Goal 13 climate action. Together with our product technologies that help make vehicles cleaner, this reduction commitment represents our ongoing effort to do our part to make the world a better place to live. We look forward to sharing more about our continued commitment to environmental and other social and governance areas as the year progresses. On slide 7, you can see that the first half of 2021 was another robust period for the group, despite volatile production schedules impacted by supply chain disruptions as global light vehicle production continues to recover. Despite these volatile headwinds, I am pleased to share these very positive results. As a leading supplier of automotive fluid systems with strong market positions globally, we were able to leverage our product strengths, leading technology, extensive diversified customer relationships, and our global footprint to make significant progress on successfully executing our hybrid electric and battery electric vehicle strategies. Prior to Hans providing you an update on the success of our electrification strategy, first let me go through some of our solid financial results for the first half of this year. Although global light vehicle production continued to recover, volatile customer production schedules impacted by microchip supply disruptions presented operational challenges, most notably in the second quarter. Despite this choppy production environment, the group's revenue continued to outperform global vehicle production by 350 basis points. We are also proud to demonstrate our flexibility and resilience to deliver a respectable adjusted EBIT margin of 8.4%. And importantly, we generated significant adjusted free cash flow of 46 million euro. The group continued to execute its fixed cost reduction restructuring program and successfully refinanced its debt and credit facilities, which served to diversify, stagger, and extend the average maturity of debt while lowering our weighted average cost of debt by some 90 basis points to 3.6%. We are pleased to once again demonstrate the ongoing success of our electrification strategy in both HEV and BEV segments with continued product launches and announcements of new business wins. I am pleased to share that nearly 50% of our half-year new business wins were on electric vehicle platforms, and we can further confirm our strong leading position to secure our successful pivot to electrified vehicles. I'm very proud with the group's great progress in this area. Moving to slide 8, and finally, let me spend some time on our revenue performance. As we look at global vehicle production for the first half of 2021, we can see that the market increased significantly by 29.2%, driven by the ongoing recovery of global light vehicle production. Our revenue increased by 32.7%, at constant currency, or 350 basis points above global light vehicle production. Vehicle production increased in all three major primary regions, most significantly in North America. Looking at Europe first, our European revenue increased by 37.4% year over year on a constant currency basis, compared to a less pronounced increase of 28.4% in European vehicle production. This resulted in an outperformance of 900 basis points. The revenue increase was primarily driven by successful launches of new business, including new battery electric vehicle and hybrid electric vehicle programs in both divisions. In North America, our revenue increased by 30.7% year over year on a constant currency basis and slightly underperformed North American light vehicle production by 130 basis points. This underperformance was anticipated and caused by the planned ramp down of powertrain programs as the company continues to increase its focus on EV-related opportunities. In Asia Pacific, our revenue increased 26.9% year over year on a constant currency basis, broadly in line with Asia Pacific light vehicle production growth. The slight underperformance was driven primarily by the timing of program ramp downs. Overall, we are pleased with the outperformance for the first half of 2021 and look forward to continue to outpace global light vehicle production for the full year 2021. So on that note, let me now hand the call over to Hans, who will walk you through some more exciting news on our success in electrification. Hans?
Thank you and good morning, everyone. Turning to slide 10, and as many of you saw at our capital markets event in April, the group showed a significant progress with our fluid evolution strategy. As Bill mentioned earlier, we are pleased to share with you today that for the first half of this year, close to 50% of our new business wins were on electric vehicles, that being either hybrid vehicle or full battery electrical vehicle. This is something we are proud of, and it's a continual validation of our successful transition to electrification. Now, as the year progresses, we look forward to continue to share with you more examples of our success in delivering upon this electrification strategy. Moving on to slide 11, I am pleased to share with you additional evidence of our fluid evolution strategy taking shape. Resulting from our data, we have TI product content on more than 50% of 94 key battery electrical vehicles identified to come to market in Europe and in North America between 2021 and 2028, as reported by JP Morgan this past April. Now, important to note is that 37% of these are battery electrical vehicles with TI fluid systems thermal product content, and more importantly, 12% of these 94 vehicles have our heat pump assemblies. It's an exciting new product and energy efficient technology and product we shared at our capital market event earlier this year. The share of representation on electrical vehicles complements the overall strong market presence TI Fluid Systems has across all vehicles, regardless of propulsion type. Turning to slide 12, the group continues to support our OEM customers in our goal to reduce emissions and increase fuel economy with our hybrid electrical vehicle, pressure-resistant fuel tanks, and delivery modules. We are pleased to announce the award of a high-volume hybrid electrical vehicle pressure-resistant fuel tank for a Japanese OEM in Asia Pacific. This plastic fuel tank utilizes our technology to reinforce the tank to handle increased internal pressures which occur when a hybrid electrical vehicle is operating in the pure electric mode. This design also nearly eliminates any hydrocarbon permeation from the tank by the insertion of venting components into the tank during the blow molding manufacturing process. The total lifetime units of this hybrid electrical vehicle pressure resistant program is estimated at about 600,000 units based on customer planning volumes. With our recent wins in these pressure resistant fuel tanks, our hybrid electrical vehicle plastic tank share is continuing to trend to greater than 20%, which is actually higher than our existing global fuel tank market share. We believe that the growing hybrid and battery electric market trends provide significant content expansion opportunities aligned with the group's strengths in fluid carrying systems. So, thank you again. And with this, let me now hand the call over to Ram. Ram, please.
Thank you, Hans, and good morning, everyone. Turning to slide 14, I will follow up again on our revenue outperformance. As Bill mentioned earlier, our revenue increased year over year by 32.7% at constant currency, or 350 basis points ahead of global vehicle production volume levels. We continue to outperform automotive vehicle production in Europe, which made up 41% of our group's revenue, successful launch of new BEV and HEV programs in both divisions contribute to the favorable performance. As mentioned earlier, Our minor revenue underperformance in North America saw strong underlying growth offset by the planned ramp down of powertrain programs. North America made up 23% of the group's revenue. In Asia Pacific, our revenue growth was broadly in line with market growth. Overall, this region's outperformance moderated as a result of program ramp downs. Asia Pacific made up 34% of our revenue. Currency translation had a net adverse impact of approximately 36 million euros to our revenue in the first half of 2021. Now, turning to slide 15, we show our adjusted EBIT and adjusted EBITDA performance for the first half of 2021. As you can see, our margins have rapidly expanded as global light vehicle production continued to recover. Our adjusted EBIT was 128 million euros, representing a strong 8.4% margin. Adjusted EBITDA was 198 million and continued to generate a robust double-digit margin of 13%. Given the choppy production schedules of our OEM customers due to the ongoing microchip shortage, these results continue to demonstrate the group's sustainability and resilience and is evidenced by the ability to deliver the sturdy incremental EBIT impact of 29% from increased revenue. Segment revenue and adjusted EBIT margins are shown on slide 16. Starting from the left, our year-over-year FCS revenue increased by 29.8% at constant currency to 813 million euros. The increase in FCS revenue was largely driven by successful BEV business launches and program ramp-ups in Europe. FCS adjusted EBIT margins was 8.6%, or a 640 basis points higher than the first half of 2020. This increase was driven by recovery in light vehicle production volumes, mainly in Europe and North America. The FCS segment ended with a high single-digit margin. Looking at the right-hand side of the slide for FTDS, revenue increased by 36.2% at constant currency to 709 million euros. This increase was driven by new product launches primarily in Europe and North America. In terms of margin, FTDS adjusted EBIT margin was 8.2% or 570 basis points higher than the first half of 2020. Similar to the FCS segment, this increase was driven by recovery of light vehicle volumes, mainly in Europe and North America. The FTDS segment ended with a strong margin. Overall, we delivered a blended group adjusted EBIT margin of 8.4% for the first half of 2021. Our global product diversity continues to benefit the group's performance. Moving to slide 17. Adjusted net income increased by 214% to 45 million euros in the first half of 2021. On the left-hand side, we have a reconciliation of reported profit for the period to adjusted net income. Our adjusted basic EPS per share is 8.75 euro cent. Given the continued strength of the company's performance and full-year outlook, the board is confident to return to its stated dividend policy in 2021 in light of the ongoing supply chain disruptions and has approved a 2021 interim dividend of 1.93 euro cent per share. Turning to slide 18, we see a significant improvement in our adjusted free cash flow. We generated 46 million euro of adjusted free cash flow in the first half of 2021, an increase of 31% over the prior year. Cash generation continues to be a strong measure of how well TI Fluid Systems compares to any of our peers. Moving to slide 19, net debt at the end of June was 621 million, an increase of 31 million from the December 2020 balance. Net leverage was 1.5 times adjusted EBITDA, a decrease from the year-end position. The group maintains a robust level of liquidity of €657 million in cash and equivalents, plus the revolver at the end of June. We are proud of the refinancing the group completed in April 2021, which maintains our previous existing levels of liquidity, lowered our cost of debt, diversified our borrowings, and extended maturities to December of 2026. We believe this supports strong levels of liquidity and supports the current and long-term goals of our strategy. We continue to benefit from strong cash conversion, which provides the group with capital allocation options and flexibility. As would be expected with our business strengths, we continue to delever through cash flow generation in the medium term as markets begin to recover. On slide 20, I would like to summarize that the TI Fluid Systems business model is sustainable and remains resilient as our industry volumes recover. We continue to take all actions to protect our employees and the environment we operate in. Our revenue continues to outperform, underlining light vehicle production volumes, and we post strong high single-digit profit margins, deliver robust free cash flow generation, and with our strong balance sheet and cash position, we are pleased to be able to continue to invest in our fluid evolution strategy. Now, thank you for your participation today, and I hope everyone remains safe and healthy. So with that, Bill and Hans and I suggest we open the phone lines for any questions. Keith, please open the line for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And we'll now take our first question. It comes from Yarik Pominkiewicz from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my question. I've got three, if I may. First one, in your outlook, you're flagged that you think that IHS forecast may be a bit optimistic at the kind of 82 million level units for 2021. May I ask what leads you to adopt a slightly bearish, more bearish stance, and what do you think is a more realistic forecast in terms of production volumes for this year? Number two, your revenue growth suggests outperformance of 350 basis points in the first half of the year. That's up from outperformance of 20 bps in the first quarter, which implies a very, very strong outperformance in Q2. What should we think in terms of outperformance for the remainder of the year? Is it more in line with first half or more in line with Q2 of this year? And maybe lastly on BEVs, you mentioned that 12% of battery electric vehicle platforms will have your heat pump assembly. I understand that not all BEV vehicles would have such a unit. What proportion of vehicles would you expect to have a heat pump assembly? I'm just trying to back out what your market share in this with this product could be going forward. Thank you.
Okay, Yarik, thank you for your questions. This is Bill Kazera, and I think I'll try to answer all three, and then my colleagues can chime in if they'd like. You know, our outlook around global volumes, you know, we've mentioned on page 17 of our release that, you know, we anticipate something below the 82 million that IHS is forecasting. We just think they have recently been optimistic, and based on everything we're seeing, you know, we are looking at a sub 80 million global volume for 2021 for a business, and that's what our outlook is based on. On the outperformance, yeah, we're very pleased with the 350 basis points for the first half. And, you know, the first quarter, as we've continued to message, is a very short period of time to try to, you know, give you an indication of outperformance. But for full year, we would expect outperformance to be with what we have historically generated in that, say, 100 to 200 basis points, and we're well on our way to achieve that with the first half results at 350. On the battery electric vehicles of the 94 platforms having 12% with their heat pump, I do not know the exact number of those vehicles, 94, that have heat pumps, as it's a new technology, but for sure it's not 100%. And so, therefore, our market share on those vehicles that have heat pumps would be rather strong. I don't have an exact number for you. We can try to look at that for the next time we talk. But we would expect to have a strong position on heat pumps as well, particularly over the long term, much like we have been successful with our coolant technology on a very, very large number of these vehicles. But certainly our market share for heat pumps on the heat pump relevant vehicles would be something north of 12%.
Okay, understood. So just to double check, in terms of overall production forecast, you expect sub 80 million. Just wanted to make sure I heard correctly.
Well, yes, below 80 million. High 70s,
okay,
below 80 million. Okay.
Thank you, Eric.
Next question, please.
We'll now take our next question. It comes from Christoph Laskawi of Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, Christoph Laskawi, Deutsche. The first one would be more or less a housekeeping question. Looking at the statement in the outlook on free cash flow, you now say it's basically supporting your dividend policy. Before that, it was confirming a free cash flow on the level of pre-COVID numbers. Just wanted to make sure that you are still confirming the pre-COVID levels and not implicitly downgrading the target as a first question. And then the second one on the growth in North America and the slight underperformance that you've shown. Given you have suffered from ramp downs in FCS in that region, are those now digested, and should the ramp ups that you've seen that offset part of that effect in H2 actually lead to an outperformance again in that region, or would you expect to be rather in line with the market? Thank you.
Yeah, Christoph, this is Bill Kazir. I'll start with the second question, then I'll turn it over to Ron to talk about the free cash flow supporting the dividend. But the growth in North America and the outperformance or slight underperformance, as we've explained before, it's really a function of our planned ramp downs of powertrain business that were a result of decisions we took 2 and 3 years ago as we, focused on, electrification in a big way. And, of course, today you're seeing the success of our electrification focus and our electrification strategy with a very high percentage of new business wins last year and then again this year being for electric vehicles. We would expect that ramp down of powertrain components to continue for a while. And as the volume, develops and grows, we would see outperformance materialize and offset that. We certainly have been working hard to win new business on full-size pickup trucks and SUVs, which we actually are pleased to report we're making quite good progress there. We have several large SUVs and large pickup trucks with content that will be coming into production here over the next year or so. And, that's an effort that will help also offset that underperformance as we ramp down powertrain products. Ron, the first question?
Sure, Bill. So when you talk about the dividend, Christoph, a couple of things we'd like to point out. One is really our capital allocation strategy. And as we demonstrated last year, and we stated this year, we will return to 30% of adjusted net income dividend payment. If you take a look at 2020, we did not make an interim payment, dividend payment, or even a dividend payment from the prior year was voted down by our shareholders. But we performed exceptionally well in 2020 and generated a tremendous amount of cash flow, and thus made that payment in the first quarter of 2021, the 35 million euros. As we move forward into 21, we're back on track. Our cash flows, actually for the 2 years, are very respectable for this business, despite the choppiness this year and the pandemic in the second quarter of last year shutting down production. So we're back on track of providing our shareholders 30% of adjusted net income, and the approval by our board that was made just this last week basically puts us back on track over the 2 years and going forward to our capital allocation strategy.
Thank you. But just to confirm, your target of reaching pre-COVID level adjusted free cash numbers for this year still stands, because you are well on track. I completely agree. And then the question will be, in case that is not in place anymore, what should go wrong, or what should be the second half?
You're correct. We are on track this year to replicate what we did last year. I, you know, as Bill said, that we are sub 80, I guess, planning for light vehicle production. I think that's a very prudent number. And as long as that volume holds, we'll be back on track to pre-COVID, you know, conversion. We're already there in pre-COVID cash generation for the business.
Yeah, Christoph, and I just want to confirm, we don't see a risk in not achieving the 30% of adjusted net income as a dividend payout. And as our cash flow is extremely strong, you know, that is not expected to be a factor in maintaining the 30%, you know, dividend policy of adjusted net income. So, you know, we're feeling quite confident in our plans for honoring and getting back on track with that dividend for the policy. And we're certainly representing that today with our commitment on the interim dividend at 10 million euro. And, you know, our outlook on cash is you know, clearly something that we're committed to. Make no mistake.
Right. If Christoph, to our capital markets day, I provided like a future outlook in one of those slides of the cash generation, and we're over a billion euros. And that's why we also show the allocation of capital allocation of that cash. So we're well on that track that we presented on Capital Market Day.
Thank you.
And I think if you look at the history of the company and the management team's performance, you can see that the management team, which is very experienced, focuses on implementing mitigating actions when we have revenue impacts that are unexpected. We demonstrated that quite well last year in 2020 when the revenue got hit as a result of the, you know, COVID-19 pandemic. And we are again demonstrating that this year, when revenues are off from where we initially started the year due to the microchip shortage, and between the restructuring actions that we implemented in the middle of last year and our intense focus on cost reductions and cash preservation, you see the results of a very strong free cash flow generation for TI Fluid Systems, as well as a very, very strong high single-digit EBIT margin for the business. Next question.
We'll now take our next question. It comes from Harry Phillips of Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Just a couple of questions, please. In terms of just coming back to the ramp down of powertrain in North America, can you sort of quantify to what extent it has impacted on revenue, and therefore give a clearer picture of your gains elsewhere in the portfolio? The second question is just around raw materials and particularly steel. I mean, when you look at a steel price chart, particularly HRC North America, it is a very scary chart. Just how are you sort of coping with that? And then lastly, just thinking about production volumes going beyond 21, and you look at IHS, you know, basically 90 million for 22, which is clearly not back at pre-COVID, but still a big jump on where this year might end up. In terms of capacity and ability to sort of facilitate that capacity, how do you sort of view that going forward? Would that be a stretch if 90 million were to be the number for 22? I have to say we haven't got that in our expectation, but just would TI's flexibility enable yourselves to sort of, you know, you wouldn't have to throw additional CapEx and sort of operating cost of that to sort of manage with that number?
Yeah, thanks, Harry. Good morning. Harry, I'll answer the first question and the third, and then I'll ask Hans to comment on the second one around the raw materials and how we're dealing with that. But, you know, I first want to reiterate that the ramp downs in powertrain that we talk about impacting the North American region's underperformance or outperformance, it's really one plant. And if we were to exclude that one plant from our outperformance calculation, we would have high single-digit outperformance for the group. All right. So, you know, we're very happy and pleased with the outperformance that we're getting in all the other areas of our business. And, you know, once we're done with this ramp down powertrain and we've sort of digested that, I think you'll start to see the continued strong and maybe even on the higher side of outperformance as we move into the battery electric and hybrid electric vehicles, taking on a higher percentage of the mix, recognizing that those vehicles offer a higher content per vehicle than internal combustion engines. On the production volumes, you know, I want to make it perfectly clear that we have full capacity in place to handle 90 million global production units. We did not take any production capacity out last year when we restructured, and therefore there would be no additional CapEx beyond the 3-4% of revenue business model that we stand for in terms of our capacity readiness. So if the volumes were to rebound to 90 million in 2022, we are very confident that we will very much so capitalize on that revenue. And, you know, you can look at the restructuring we did last year as really consolidating our capacity into a fewer number of facilities, which then allowed us to reduce the fixed cost of the total group when you close six plants and you partially close two other plants. Hans, do you want to comment on our raw material impact, particularly around steel and what the group's doing to mitigate that?
Sure. Well, it's very obvious that the impact of steel and partially also plastics has been increasing and it is obviously a very strong effect now. But our group has historically shown systems that are in place in order to handle raw material increases. This is partially done by indexes that are agreed with our customer base and partially also by negotiations that we do in case this sort of an increase is occurring. I can state that historically we have been very successful in implementing these recoveries on these sort of increases. To some degree, you can see a level of a delay on it as it calculates mostly some of the previous period increases and then carries forward. But I see no other thing in place now than what we have done historically on it, and I'm confident that we can recover these increases going forward.
And if I may, just one follow-up question. When you look at the sort of inventory days in North America, you know, basically around 20 days, 22 days, I mean, how sustainable is that? And even though the OEMs are sort of making out like bandits at the moment, I mean, clearly that level of inventory is unsustainable. And yes, I accept that chip shortage will sort of delay any immediate rebuild of that inventory. But are you seeing, I mean, clearly they're focusing on their more profitable lines and what have you. Are you seeing a big shift in their production focus in your own schedules, or is it all, you know, this is over analysis and in the roundings, it's all pretty normal and you're just waiting for that inventory bounce back to come either later this year or into next year?
Well, I think, Harry, the OEMs, you know, continue to, quite frankly, amaze me with the things that they can do to compensate for new headwinds. And they're doing a lot of creative things to continue to, you know, get vehicle production back on the heels of the chip shortage. And, you know, we're confident that that inventory will bounce back to the typical 60 days when we don't exactly know. But I can tell you that, you know, the North American market continues to remain quite brisk. If you look at the, you know, the regional selling rate of vehicles, and I'm confident that the North American producers will do everything they can to capitalize on that. And you're right, they have been benefiting from that with reduced incentives. And so, you know, we're happy for them as our customers that they can make the strong results presentations that they have made in the last weeks. But I wouldn't read too much into that inventory at 20 days. We've talked before that, you know, these inventory levels swing up and down, and I wouldn't put too much emphasis on that. At the end of the day, we are driven by the global production volume builds, and that's what this company is very focused on, and you know, will allow us to, you know, continue to expand our results and with our financial performance as those volumes continue to grow year over year, and they are in 2021, and we'd expect that trend to continue clearly in 2022 and beyond.
Fantastic. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Harry.
Other questions? We'll take our next question. It comes from Gabriel Adler of Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. This is Gabriel from Citi. One question from me on EVs. I just wanted to understand whether the increased momentum that we're seeing now from both governments and also regulators means that you're in any way rethinking or accelerating your electrification strategy, because we've had the Fit for 55 program announced in Europe, which de facto could ban combustion engines from 2035. So I'd be interested in to hear whether your thinking around the pace of your electrification strategy has changed. And related to that, on slide 10, where you show your EV wins as a percentage of total, would you be willing to comment or break out the portion of those wins that come from BEV versus HEV? Thank you.
Okay, I'll turn that question over to Hans to comment on both of them, Gabriel.
Yeah. So the rethink of the electrification, electrical vehicles, I think there are many messages out there, and I think also globally different governments think about this differently. So but going forward, electrical vehicles, I do think will be accelerating. I personally think it will be a higher percentage of the market, but how it will evolve, that remains to be seen. Concerning the battery electrical vehicle and hybrid electrical vehicle split, I do not have the numbers here exactly in front of me. But what we see is an increase in battery electrical vehicles compared to hybrid electrical vehicles going forward. I think many OEMs are considering or might be rethinking how they handle the increasing request in the market. And I think they are considering to lower the amount of hybrid electrical vehicles in favor of battery electrical vehicles. But again, this remains to be seen. We will tightly follow up going forward how this evolves.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting, Gabriel, in the short term, you know, the mix of hybrid vehicle wins is greater than the mix of battery electric vehicle wins by virtue of the fact that hybrid vehicle, electric vehicle wins are going to be the more predominant portion of total electric vehicles in the short and medium term. But as Hans said, we would expect the OEMs to move away from HEVs as they are more expensive to produce with the dual propulsion systems. But keeping in mind that, you know, our split on those wins favoring hybrid electric vehicles is an advantage for TI, because we have this much higher content per vehicle on hybrid electric vehicles than we do on battery electric vehicles. But even though the battery electric vehicles are more than internal combustion engines, and we've shared those metrics with you in the past, you know, that trend continues. And so in the short and medium term, the impact of this change to electrification is very positive for TI Fluid Systems. I'm sorry, Gable, did you have another question?
Well, yeah, I could put some numbers around the Gable. HEVs will make up about a third of the market as we move forward from today, around 15%. And as Bill said, what happens is that that remains constant pretty much to the end of the decade is what they're predicting. But EVs will ramp up from, you know, basically call it 5% or less this year to 25%. And all that is going away from the ICE engine. So it kind of levels out currently. The planning is around a third HEV, where EVs will start to catch up to them. And then ICE engines themselves will start to moderate to under 50% as time goes on.
And I think the headline message that we wanted to convey today is that 50% or roughly 50% of our new business wins in the first half of 2021, and it was a similar ratio last year in 2020, being for battery electric vehicles demonstrates our successful transition to electrification and how well our products and our technologies built around our customer relationships allow us to be, you know, a winner with more than our fair share, if you will, of the battery electric vehicle wins as a tier one supplier of significant capability. So that's hopefully the main message that you take away and understand today.
Yeah, I think also STI, we are obviously agnostic to the powertrain. For us, we supply products, as you well know, on ICE vehicles, on hybrid electrical vehicles, and on electrical vehicles, or battery electrical vehicles. And it's our very well positioned, our agnostic position, that whatever the final volume is going to be, we can take our proper share of the industry there.
Okay, thank you for your answers.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. And we'll now take our next question. It comes from Dominic Tonvey of Numis.
Good morning, all. Our first question, I guess, is can you frame your H2 outlook and the guidance you've given this morning relative to your first half performance? I guess specifically in relation to revenue and EBIT margins, because I think what I'm trying to get to really is the profit bridge in the second half. It now feels like volumes will be a headwind H2 on H1. But perhaps you could remind us of the phasing of the restructuring cost savings this year and how that's likely to impact. And then finally, just slightly related, but you've mentioned that you've got capacity in place to handle up to 90 million global vehicle production, perhaps in 2022, if IHS is right. Is it therefore fair to assume that you can maintain that 30% drop through until we get to those sorts of run rate levels?
Bill,
yeah,
I can, do you want to handle both of
those questions? Yes, I do. The first question about H2 versus H1, what I would say is that it's relatively flat, the two halves. I wouldn't say it's materially different at this point. On the margin profile, we feel that we can still probably take out a few basis points of margin improvement in the second half, primarily around a couple items. One in particular is the production choppiness that we saw in the second quarter. We're learning to deal with this in a little bit better way and respond to it. And that should make us a little bit more efficient than what we saw in the second quarter. As Hans said, then we also are going after our customers and getting our recoveries as well as we move forward for an inflationary environment. And we're just going to operate a little bit more efficiently than we did in the first half. Primarily that second quarter was what really when we saw the schedule changes, I think all suppliers were having a difficult time to respond to it. Now we're learning to respond to it. What was the other questions besides the financial performance first half versus second half?
The capacity, around 90 million, and maintain a 30% decrement or upside on revenue.
Yeah, we're confident. I mean, this it's go back years now. In particular in 2020, in the pandemic, that first half of 2020, we performed extremely well on the decremental side, and we controlled our cost when production was basically taken out of the business in the second quarter of 2020. But then on the other side of the business, when we started to see volumes recover, we darn near turned in 30 cent, right, for every euro increase in revenue, which I think is very robust. I remember the question now, Bill. It was around restructuring. The restructuring really was started last year, but like we said, it will take through this year to have everything finished and behind us. The benefits of that restructuring will be somewhat seen in the second half this year, but really it's a 2022 event to see the benefits of the restructuring. So like I said, we're confident to respond to the market up and down, and I think we're going to perform slightly better in the second half margin-wise, given that the revenue outlook's basically flat.
That's really helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Dominic. Any other questions?
It appears we've no further questions at this time. I'd now like to hand the call back to Mr. Bill Kazira for any additional comments or closing remarks.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. So if there's no further questions, and in closing, I'd like to thank everyone on the call for joining us today. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank our shareholders, the analysts, and our employees for their continued support for TI Fluid Systems, which is a great company that I've had the privilege to work for and with a strong management team over the past 13 years. As you know and announced earlier this year, I will retire and step down as president and CEO in the fourth quarter of this year, so this will be my last official results release. I've thoroughly enjoyed seeing the true strengths of this 100-year supplier grow and manage successfully the latest challenges, whether they're health-related or propulsion-related. This company is well-positioned for the next 100 years. I will leave with great confidence in Hans taking the helm, along with Ron as our experienced chief financial officer, and the rest of the great management team and global employees to continue to demonstrate what they always have done and doing what they always said they will do. So thank you for the honor and the pleasure to lead this company and to work with all of you, and my sincere wishes to you and your families. Thank you. Thank you very much. And with that, operator, you can disconnect the call. Goodbye now.
Thank you. This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.